Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scattered. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Hallelujah, and shalom, shalom to all of the daughters of Zion. Blessings to you, and thank you so much for tuning in. This is Mother Jennifer for another episode of Sister to Sister. Our beloved host, Sister Ashley, is not with us today. She is listening from home. I do have something to read from her. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and read that now, and then we'll move forward. I'm sure you all want to hear from our dear sister. It says, blessings to everyone who knows me personally and supports me with their prayers and honor. I want to say thank you to those who sent their words of encouragement through the appreciation video. Thank you, Sister Jasmine, for putting it together and all of the sisters who participated. I am officially in purification. I have birthed Deacon's fourth son. I will be listening every week to every show, following the ministry, and staying up to date on all the videos and posts. I'd like to thank everyone in advance for helping and participating in the upcoming Sister to Sister shows while I am gone. And thank you, Mother Jennifer, for hosting. Please continue to cultivate and develop your relationship with the Most High Yah as we grow together. Everything you do for yourself will also benefit everyone around you. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Bless you, Elder Rufus and Mother Jennifer. Looking forward to tonight's show. Shalom. So I'd like to say congratulations to the home of Deacon Bell on the new addition that they have. Good, healthy, strong baby boy. Hallelujah. And mom is doing well. She's encouraged, and she is also encouraging us. So thank you, Sister Ashley, for being so selfless, even in your time of purification, for thinking about everyone. So I have a special guest beside me tonight, and I want to introduce this special guest. This is my beloved husband, Elder Rufus, and I just want to thank him for taking the time out for being here tonight. I'll tell you all later on how this show came about, and I just want him to speak a few words, and then we'll get started.
All right, blessings. Bless you, beloved. Bless you, saints of the Most High Yah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Happy to be here with you guys tonight. I, too, send out my congratulations and shouts out and praise and worship to and all the salutations to Deacon Bell's household, fourth son. Glory to the King, healthy boy. So we are excited and elated about that. Purification will be over by the time we get to the feast, so we'll get to see him. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. And, again, any opportunity to be able to fellowship with the saints of the Most High Yah is never taken for granted. Always giving glory to the Most High Yah first and foremost. So bless you all. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hallelujah. All right. Let me do the countdown for the feast. We have 57 days before the Feast of Trumpets. We've got 65 days before the Feast of Atonement. And we have 70 days before the Feast of Tabernacles. So thank you, Sister Sakina, for the countdown. Thank you for being in the studio for me tonight. I spoke with Sister Sakina earlier in the week, and I told her, I said, you know, you can have the night off. I can just handle it from my end here. And she is definitely a servant. She decided to run the chat board for me. So thank you so much for your labor. All right. So this past Shabbat message, wait, I got one more announcement. I'm sorry, y'all. For the Feast of Tabernacles, Sister Marshala would like for me to announce that there will be a Straightway Heirs Marketplace. If you are interested in your children participating in the Straightway Heirs Marketplace, if they have items that that they would like to sell or to make for the marketplace or even participate in, contact Sister Marshala on Marco Polo. If you do not have Marco Polo, you can send an email to straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, and we will make sure that she receives the information.
All right. I do have an announcement as well. You all know that we do 3 times a year raise funds for our pastoral vacation to send Pastor Dowell and his family away. This is that week. I do apologize to my sisters. I normally post it on the Marco Polo for the sisters as well, and I totally forgot this week with everything else I had going on. I got one on the men's. I did not do it for the sisters, so I will make sure to get that on there tonight. Most of you know my information. If you don't, you can reach out through me to Marco Polo or whatever avenue you have to get in touch with me or get in touch with someone that can get in touch with me, and I can get that information to you. But I will do one tonight, probably right after the broadcast, and I'll put the information on there for you sisters that are able to give to that. The deadline is this Sunday, July 31st. This Sunday, July 31st is the deadline for it to come in. We've done okay so far. I expect a big rush tomorrow when all the saints get the funds and things of that magnitude, and this weekend to bring it in so that we can continue to put our pastor and his family in a position where they can go away, get needed rest, clarity of mind, and come back and give this incredible unadulterated word that's been just cutting and changing our hearts and minds and the way we're going to function moving forward in the body of Christ. So the Pastoral Vacation Fund information will be up on the Sisters United tonight. The brothers already have it. If you have it in your heart to give, we will receive it. All right? Glory to the King. Bless y'all.
Hallelujah. And think about the messages that we're getting now. Imagine if our shepherd was able to get away and get some much-needed rest. You know, what would we be fed with when he returns? So I know I, for one, am definitely thankful for the messages that have been coming forward. They have truly been life-changing. You'll never hear this type of teaching literally anywhere else. And I'm just so thankful that we have a pastor who just truly loves us to go beyond, you know, the basics, and to just give us the deep teachings that we truly need so that we can be set free. You can hear the love in every message, and I'm just so honored to be under his teachings.
Glory to the King. Pastor talked about at times how, you know, a lot of people will try to come behind Pastor Dow and take the bullet points from his message and try to take them and teach them like they're the ones that Yah has anointed for this day and hour. And but these messages coming back on spiritual warfare, these are the messages that, like Pastor say all the time, you ain't got to worry about nobody on YouTube coming behind him teaching these messages, because you will put yourself in grave danger trying to come behind a man of Yah teaching something about the anointing and teaching something about spiritual warfare when you're not anointed and you don't, and you're not filled with the Spirit of Truth, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So you get yourself in a lot of trouble. So we are blessed, y'all. I really want to stress that we are blessed, so that you all should be listening to these messages over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Did I say over?
You did.
And over and over and over again. You have to let these things sink deep down. When Pastor Dow was praying and ending service and all that, and beginning service, y'all, that's just not words. You really need to take that stuff to heart. You really do need these sayings to sink deep down into your heart, into your soul, into your being, and become who you are, so that in the time of need, that is what is going to come out of you, that wellspring of life, the word of Yah. You really need to get this. And that, in turn, will help you cultivate the beautiful, close relationship you need with the Most High. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So speaking of the message this past Sabbath, there was one particular part. There was a lot that actually stood out to me, but there was one particular part that stood out to me the second time that I went back and listened to it. And it was when he called Mama Nelly up to the front. And she was able to testify about how free, you know, how she's able to experience a level of freedom that she's never had before, with no condemnation. And it's so needed, I believe, in this time for the women, the daughters of Zion, to be able to experience that exact same thing. I know Elder Rufus and myself and really all of your shives have gone through the same process. You know, we've been so blessed to just be in a position to be set free from our past. But there are some very important steps that have to be followed in order for you to be in that position. So I'm going to play the clip, and then Elder and I, we're going to go through and just kind of discuss point by point, you know, what is needed.
Hallelujah. Let it rip.
To Yah, yet still we're condemned in our minds. The book does say that he'll wipe your mind, your conscience, that there'll be no remembrance of this. And yet still we're reminded. I'm telling y'all, we done missed a major step. A major step. A major step. Whenever I take on in the shower, right, they tell me everything about the past. How condemned are you about your past?
No condemnation.
You ever hold anything over your head?
Never.
Bring it up?
Not ever.
Repeat or rehash?
No, not at all.
That means she can walk around from me freely.
Yes.
You know why? Knowing that she'll never be reminded of anything. Because me, myself, personally, I couldn't even tell you what she said anyway. I done forgot. Didn't I, y'all say, that I'll throw your sins into the sea of forgiveness, never to be remembered of again? I'll separate them as far from the east to the west. Then he said, if you really, truly confess your sins, there will be no more remembrance of them. Now she can walk around clean, pure, dignified, sanctified. Am I right?
Yes, free, secure.
What do you think?
I walk around free, secure, and feeling renewed and pure in the eyes of the Most High.
Trusted advisor. Thank you very much. Isn't that beautiful? Anybody learn anything? Well, what about you? Do you confess to her? Nope. Already done did it. Isn't it nice to be able to walk around as a child with no condemnation? Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. That was a very good clip. I got a little bit more to play, but I wanted to stop there. You know, the very first part when Pastor said when he takes on an Ashiah, they tell him everything about the past. And I want to ask you, Elder Rufus, and we can go back and forth. Why do you believe this is a necessary step?
Well, for one, you're coming into a scenario and situation where you're being covered and you have a head, you have someone ruling over you, that all your thoughts should be towards his thoughts. So if you have things in your past that could be still ruling over you, dominating you, controlling you, manipulating you, keeping you in any levels of bondage, you have to give those over to your ruler and let him deal with them. And, of course, he's going to use the strength of the Most High Yah to get you free, free in mind, free in spirit, free in heart, free in the deeds that you're going to do. So it's a willing act of submission that the woman should do, and totally benefits not just her, but it benefits the covenant that they're in. It's going to benefit their family. It's going to benefit Israel as a whole, because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. So now you're not going to have anything holding you back from in your past, no guilt, no shame, no condemnation, and holding you back from moving forward and serving the Most High Yah in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I remember you and Pastor Dow, you know, you all talk about this a lot, about how a woman will take on the DNA of every man that she has connected with, every man that she has had sex with. She will take on their DNA. And so, you know, it is very important for her to be able to have a safe place in her husband. Pastor used the words trusted advisor. and it's very, very wise for a husband to be a trusted advisor for a woman, you know, to feel like she can go to him and tell him everything, to really pour out her heart so that she can be set free, so that that DNA can, you know, change to Yah's DNA, the person that she has been created to be. As a weaker vessel, it's very important for a woman to be able to lean on her husband, you know, to lean on him for his strength. How does a man get to the point of being that strength, not taking things personally when he hears things about her past, you know, when he hears things about that, the things that she's done in her past? Mm-hmm. How does he get to the position of not taking it personally and taking it so hard?
Okay, if you go back in the message there and you listen to Pastor Dow, he got to the part where he said, do I tell her everything? Nope, I've been there, done that. And some of you know that Pastor Dow's testimony is when he really came into the truth and got filled with the Holy Spirit, he was at the altar confessing all of his sins out loud to everybody that was there. You know, now, that's not required. Let's just keep that, you know what I'm saying? But that's the process Yah took him through as a man of Yah. So all of that, things that the wife has to do to the husband, he had already done as a wife unto Yah. And see, even the book speaks about how if you lay with a harlot, y'all become one. See, people don't know how important it is with all this laying. And see, the devil's good at getting people to go out here and believe that sex is just free and it's natural, and which it is, but it's supposed to be done in holiness and set apartness and righteousness. You know what I mean? Not in vulgarities and not in perversions and not in sin and evil. So for a man to build himself up, he has to go through this process first and foremost with the Most High. Mm-hmm. That's the first step he has to do. He has to go through that process and then allow Yah to show him how, you know, in the process of building him up, now he'll know how to do the same to his Ashiah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a very important step, because I remember when you took me on as your wife, I remember you had gone through the process yourself. Mm-hmm. And because you had gone through the purging process and the repentance process and, you know, even deliverance, I was able to be set free. So you actually were able to lead the way for me, and I was able to trust in the fact that, okay, this is a free man. I want to experience the same freedom that he has experienced. So when Pastor said trusted advisor, mm-hmm. is it wise for a woman to be the trusted advisor of her husband?
Well, I think the man's most important trusted advisor should be the Most High, because mm-hmm. that's who your head is. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that, because the book is clear that your heart can safely trust in your wife. You know, most of your Ashiahs are blessed in specific areas, and they have wisdom and they have knowledge and they have even levels of understanding in certain areas. So there's nothing wrong with a husband leaning in that area. But to put the wife in a position of authority over him, you don't want to do that. Is that making sense? You know, you don't want to put her to the point to where, okay, well, she's the one I go to for everything, because now what you're doing is you're putting her in a position where she is the ruler. She is the one in authority over you. That should be Yah. And then Yah can send trusted men that have his heart, that have his mindset, that walk in his spirit, and they can, you know, add to that. So can you trust in your wife for certain things? Yeah. I would not elevate her to that level where she is my number one trusted advisor, though, because I think what you do at that point is you can potentially put the wife in a position that she's just not built for. Mm-hmm. She's not built to be in a position of any level of authority. And this whole thing in our walk is about a submission. The wives have been charged to submit to their husband, right? And we've been charged to submit to Yah and love you guys the same way Yah loved the Messiah loved the assembly. So you have to keep it in order and perspective. And, mother, it's a very thin line, though, you know, because I lean on you watch it. I mean, I lean on you. I lean on Auntie. I lean on Bon Bon. I lean on Mama T. You see what I'm saying? In certain areas and things. But I never just make y'all the end all be all. Y'all are not the ones I'm running to and just laying in your bosom. What I'm gonna do? You know, I don't. That's giving over your strength. That's giving over your power, and you're putting your shire, you're putting your peckless, you're putting them in a position that y'all didn't design for them to be in. You know, now I understand in this last hour that the children are going to be our oppressors and the women are going to rule over us. But that's for the wicked. That's not for those that are living set apart. That's not for those that are living holy and righteous and submitted themselves 100% to the ways of Yah. So you have to be very, very careful. And I tell you this all the time. I tell my wives this all the time. I tell the sisters this all the time. I tell the men this all the time. You can't tell the weaker vessel every single thing.
Right.
You're not built to handle every single thing. So that's why you're not built to be in that position where you could be that sole trusted advisor. Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Explained very well. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about iniquity this past Sabbath. And, you know, Pastor was explaining and breaking down how, you know, we've never been really taught about iniquity. You know, how important is it for during the repentance process? I know you and I went over this. How important is it to really call the things that you've been through exactly what they are? You know, I remember you and I were having a conversation and, you know, I used the word intimate and I was dealing with my past. And you said, no, that wasn't intimacy. That was called whoredom. And, you know, you really got me to see exactly how to talk to Yah in a way that he could respond because I was actually speaking his language. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's lewd behavior, if it's iniquity, whatever it is, how important is that, Elder?
It's very important because if you're going to submit these things to your master, which is Yah, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, you have to speak in the language that he understands. Now, of course, he understands all languages, but we can't be speaking to him in abstract terms. You know, he wants us to test him and try him and put these things before him that he says should go before him. And you come in with English vernacular and abstract speech and words and trying to sugarcoat, you know, because this is what you program yourself to do when you're in the world and you're living in sin and you know, you're walking around with guilt, you're walking around with shame and condemnation, you start to speak this way. So, but the Bible said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if your mind has been renewed and you've been transformed and he's filled you with his spirit, you have to take on the character and the nature of the Most High Yah. You have to speak the way he speaks mm-hmm. so that your communication can be clear. And then you have to go before him honestly. See, if I'm going to sugarcoat, that means I'm ashamed. If I'm going to try to use abstract words, that means I'm still dealing with levels of guilt and I'm still dealing with levels of condemnation. I'm literally showing the Father that I don't have the faith, I don't have the trust in him to do what he already promised that he would do. So he said, come to me as a little child. You just have to bear everything to him. And in a sense for the women, you're doing that to your husband. And the husband needs position like Yah would, the forgiving and the compassionate and the long-suffering. Why? If you've already been, see, one of the reasons that helped me with you, because I have the same testimony that Pastor got. I haven't brought your past back up. I don't hold it over your head. I've forgotten 99% of what you told me because you're free, it's irrelevant. Because you walk free and you're walking in the newness of life, it's nothing that needs to be addressed anymore.
Right.
The demons have been cast out. The ungodly soul ties have been broken. So we don't have to deal with that anymore. But, you know, putting yourself in these positions as a man, you have to garner your strength from the Most High. You have to garner that from there. And see, if you're a woman and you come in this position to your husband and you're sugarcoating and all that, that's levels of distrust. That's level of lack of faith. That's level of disbelief. And these are the things that hinder and stop the power of Yah. Mm-hmm. So you have to be 100% bold and transparent to the Most High.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And, you know, just looking at how you are able to help me and then forget my past, I'm able to emulate that because I'm looking at that as the love of Yah. And so I can translate that to, okay, this is how the Father's love is, but even on a greater level. So I'm able to walk without condemnation because I can say it for whatever it is. I can get the deliverance I need. I can make the confessions that I need to make. I can move forward anymore. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And like, y'all know, coming together as a married couple, knowing each other, having sex, for those that don't understand it, that is an incredible bond. It makes you one. But another bond will be going through the spiritual warfare, dealing with the things that plague the mind, right, that end up eventually, it's a mental thing, but it ends up eventually affecting you physically. And when a husband can stand 10 toes down for his wife in this area and be there with her to lead her through the levels of deliverance that she needs, to the levels of purging that she needs to get free in this area, nothing besides knowing each other brings you even closer. Because when a wife can look in a husband's eye and know that he's not thinking about me or what I did in 94 and in 87 and in 62, it's actually bringing about a greater appreciation and love. And see, why will the man become more compassionate and love the wife more? He's already been through that process. Mm-hmm. So when he's going to know what you're feeling because he's already experienced it. So that's going to bring about great compassion, just like the Messiah walked around here with. Mm-hmm. So that's very critical. That's very critical.
Hallelujah. We have a question in the chat room. It says, speaking about the trusted advisor, can we ask questions in the chat? Sure you can. My question is for single women in the ministry, having a trusted advisor, how should a woman overcome mistrust of men? Being in the ministry, walking out, trusting Yah. It is often said that the men cover the single women. So how would the single woman go about getting advice from one man in the ministry?
All right. I want to phrase it the proper way, because men do not cover the single sisters. The leadership in this ministry cover the single sisters, and only those that are indeed, kind of like a widow indeed, those that fully 100% submit themselves to the leadership, they're the ones that cover. Now, we may assign or use a brother to assist and help in certain areas, but that level of temptation, we would never put sisters in, you know what I mean? So it takes a high level of trust. So if you have issues in your past of not being able to trust men because of the bad decisions that you have made, see, this is the part that really hurts most people. You're very used as women to blaming others. Y'all have the blame game down. Mm-hmm. But when you come to this light, this marvelous light of the Most High, you can't have the blame game down, because the only person that needs to be blamed is yourself. 99% of what you deal with as a woman is self-induced. Now, don't get me wrong. There are things I know that happen that you have no control over, you know, when it comes to violations and molestations and all. I understand all that. But moving forward, we still understand what is right and what is wrong. And a lot of decisions that have been made, it's all self-induced to us. So now that we're in the knowledge of the truth and you have this protection in front of you called Israel, you have to trust that. So this is why it's important to study, to show thyself approved. This is why it's important to meditate on these things. This is what the scriptures say. You have to change the way you think, because just because you say, I'm in the ministry straightway, that's not going to bring you trust of men, because the devil's going to make sure he constantly bombards your mind with that. So now you got to get yourself in a position where you're studying that word and getting the deliverance you need. You have mothers in the ministry. You have leaders over assemblies and their wives that are heads. These are trusted people that you can go to get guidance. Most of these people are very well-versed in deliverance, very well-versed in spiritual warfare and the strategies that are needed to defeat the devil. So the key is to get your mind clear and to get your mind changed, get it transformed like the Bible says. Now, once we can get you to that point, then the men can step in and do what they need to do. And you get yourself prepared. And most of you sisters that are in that stage, you should be preparing your hearts and minds to be covered, to be a part of some family. You know, that's what you should be getting your heart and mind prepared for. You know, some that are older, 60 or whatever, you know, I understand that. But you can get past the distrust that's in your past as soon as you trust what's going forward in your future. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I'm glad you brought up, you know, that there are mothers in the ministry, there are lead sisters, there are deacons' wives, there are elders' wives, you know, who have been put in a place or a position to be able to counsel the women. And, you know, these sisters are getting their counsel from their husbands. They're getting the counsel or the wisdom from the elders, the deacons, you know, whoever the leader is over a particular area. So you're able to build trust by being able to trust the wives of those men, first and foremost.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's continue. What we'll do is we'll play more of the clip, and then we'll come back.
You can tell that sometimes, I'm not just picking on wives now, okay, but we got to go here. See, a lot of women that are not free in the bedroom is because there's some condemnation from the past. Ain't that right, assembly? Ain't that right, church? Is that the reason why y'all can't be free and intimate with y'all?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Being free and intimate with Yah. So Pastor talked about being free in the bedroom translates to being intimate with your husband. Now, I want to say this. You know, most people think that when we talk about in the bedroom, it means having sex. However, you know, Elder, there's been many times when you and I will sit and look at each other and we're being the most intimate at that point, you know, or we'll be able to sit and have a conversation and we're being the most intimate at that point. Because I know that because I'm free, I'm able to completely give my mind to you. I'm completely able to give myself to you. You know, we know that the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So, you know, we had a conversation last week, and I remember just pouring my heart out, you know, with you and just telling you what my concerns were. And, you know, you just, you came and you said, I think you said five words, and it just calmed, literally calmed everything. And I remember looking at you, and I said, this is something how the devil can try to come in, and you just take away everything as if, you know, nothing has even happened. And you said, well, because nothing has happened. And that to me was paramount because you had forgotten, you know, just that past. You taught me how to forget the past, how to move on. You know, we got work to do. You always say that we got work to do. And so that's the type of intimacy sometimes that we are able to share, which I actually appreciate that level of intimacy that we have.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And, you know, it's paramount that we get to these levels of intimacy. Now, the key is if you can't be intimate with y'all like this because your past and your guilt, your shame, and your condemnation is holding you back, it's going to be very, very hard to get to that way with your shine. If you don't trust your head, how is she going to trust you? You understand what I'm saying? You got a man that is dealing with guilt. He's dealing with shame and condemnation from his past. He hasn't gone through the proper steps to get the deliverance that he needs, the purging. The Bible says purge thyself. So you have to resist the devil in these areas. How do you do that? By quoting what the word of Yah says. Those are precious, kept promises from him about who we are as a people and how we are going to function and what he's going to do for us. It's right there. We go through these things weekly to keep a reminder before you. But a lot of times people get consumed in their hearts and they get consumed in their minds because they are used to wallowing in their guilt and their shame and their condemnation and They love the negative attention that it may bring. You know what I mean? Like, oh, somebody's always checking on you and, oh, how you doing and blah, blah, blah. Hey, we have to mature in this thing. You know, I say around here all the time, we got to go and we're going to higher levels of holiness. This level of teaching on spiritual warfare is taking this whole ministry to a higher level of holiness. And it starts with the men and their level of submission to the Most High Yah, their level of dedication and order and studying that word, meditating on that word, and trusting Yah first and foremost. What do I mean by that? Asking Yah. So many men will just ask me questions, ask me questions, questions. And sometimes I'll pause and I'll say, what did Yah say? Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, huh? Mm-hmm. You heard me. What did Yah say? And I can look at their face and tell they hadn't even thought about going to Yah. They just so programmed that, let me get an answer from a man, let me follow, let me get an answer. But in that sense, it doesn't teach you how to cultivate your relationship with your God, with your Yah, with your head, with your husband. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of what I have to do is guide and direct men to submit to the Father so he can pour into them the same way he pours into Pastor Dowell or Elder Becker or Elder Mitchell or the men of Yah. Pastor, you see what I'm saying? It's not that Yah loves them more than he loves you. He doesn't. They just believe what they read. And you have to get past yourself. You have to get past your own personal pain. And that's just an internal decision you have to make, that this is what you're going to do, and you're going to believe the things that are before you from the book that will help you get there. And when you get to that point, now it's easier to transition for your wife, because you've already gone through all the steps that she's going to go through. So when she gets to these points, you're going to know exactly how to deal with them, because the Father's already dealt with you on them. Just like Pastor said, do I tell her everything? Do I tell her? Nope. Been there, done it. I've already told and submitted these things to my head, and he's already purged my mind. He's already cleansed me, and he's already washed me white as snow, and he already took the bruises, hallelujah, that cleaned up all the internal iniquity that we have. And see, people forget that the iniquity is a bent and a crooked way of thinking. We have to know and understand that our thoughts are not his thoughts. He tells us that. To him, that I don't think the way you do, but I want to. Tell me how to break this down, Father. Tell me how to get free from this. Show me how to take on your mind. And that's the same thing we want from our wives. We want them to assimilate to us. The reason why we can flow so well, it ain't just because we got a whole bunch of time together. It's because we're committed 100% in faith and in trust of the Most High Yah. No walls up, no blockages to do his program. To do his order and be in his order. The thing that makes our marriages work, you know, I can just speak for me. The things that make mine work is because everybody is committed to their role. You're not trying to be elder. You're happy being mother. You're happy being wife. You're happy being sister. Mm-hmm. You're happy being grandma, mother, auntie, whatever's necessary. I'm pleased in my role. I'm not trying to be in your role. Same on with my other shies. They pleased in the role they have, and every shy don't have the same role. It's a body. The body has different functions. Don't get mad if you have to function as a pinky, and somebody else gets to function as a kneecap. That's what he's anointing them to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I remember, you know, we were discussing one day, and you said that women are really good at suppressing. You know, women will literally suppress something and they will move on with their lives. And 20 years later, they won't even remember the thing that they suppressed. And so they're carrying around all of this pain. You know, they don't understand where this pain is coming from, and they have no idea why their behaviors are the way that they are. And when you start to really tap into the things that you've suppressed, then you realize that, okay, there's something here. What's the difference between, you know, suppressing and forgetting so that you can move on?
You know, when you suppress it, you push it so deep down in your subconscious that it's like it never happened. You know what I mean? When you forget something, there are certain things that could trigger and make it come back to your memory. You understand what I'm saying? Like Pastor made a statement, I forgot everything. I'm sure at that time there was a few things that probably popped in his mind that the devil made sure popped up in his mind. Well, you remember this, you remember this. And Pastor, yeah, I do, but it doesn't matter. You know, I can imagine how the conversation was going in his mind with the devil trying to submit them thoughts at that time because he was hot that, you know, the body was being blessed from it. So when y'all suppress stuff, though, y'all literally press it so far down that you nothing can trigger it. Nothing brings it back out. And you've been able to do the Jedi mind trick with yourself through sin and iniquity. See, it's a crooked, it's a bit way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how a lot of women come up. It's like, you know, I didn't have feelings for this man. I'm going to just get raw with y'all. I didn't have feelings for this man.
Mm-hmm.
I just was horny.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and did, had sex with this dude.
Right.
There's no feelings. There's no attachment. There's no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Bible tells you clearly that if a man lays with a whore, they become one.
Mm-hmm.
So then you wonder when you have 10 of these transgressions, 25 or 50 or 100 or 250 or 400. Then you wonder why you have all these different levels of personalities in you, where this day you can act like this and this day you start acting like this and you look around saying, what the heck? And some of them you just accept, say, well, that's just who I am. No, it ain't. That's who you've become from the bad decisions and choices that you've made. But the good thing is, like we said earlier, he who the Son sets free is going to be free indeed. He comes to set you free. He comes to deliver you. He comes to cure you. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He comes to heal you, and you have to trust that he can. Now, when you read his book, he shows you. He spent his life doing that same thing, healing and curing and delivering all of his people. So if he loved them enough to do it, why don't he love you enough to do it?
Right.
Did Alpa explain the suppression and well enough? Did I do a good job?
Definitely. That? Yes, sir. Definitely, you did. You know, I wanted to say that, you know, when it comes to suppressing, sometimes you're just simply not going to remember. You might be on the path of healing. You know, you might be seeking deliverance. You might be praying. You might be fasting. And you could think to yourself, okay, there's something missing here. There's something that I don't understand. Maybe I've forgotten something. It's always good to really approach the Father and ask him, you know, for if there's anything that I've suppressed, there's anything that I have buried deep down that I have tried to forget and it has not been dealt with, then please bring it back to my memory. Please give me a spirit of recall, Father, so that I can deal with this and be able to move on. Even in deliverance, I have experienced deliverance with my mind, with the subconscious mind, you know, things that I subconsciously just kind of put back but didn't even really pay attention to it because I didn't want to feel the pain anymore. So I was able to get the deliverance that I needed in my subconscious mind and really ask the Father to bring those things back to my memory so that I can be delivered and move on.
You know, yes. And, you know, like, how can an individual that is not free themselves have that full-fledged desire for someone else to be free? When you've never tasted it, you've never experienced it, you don't know what that looks like, feels like, tastes like, hear like, whatever. You know what I mean? It's hard for you to want that for someone else. So this is why it's so important for you men to go through this process so that when you get set free, it's like in deliverance. You know, if you've been delivered from rejection and then you see a new brother or a new sister and then they would reject, you see it.
Right.
You have to something like, man, I've been there because all the signs are there. And when you have that wellspring of love, when you've gone through that process, like we talked about, what was it, 2 Peter, first chapter, when you've gone through that process and you've gotten to the point where you're walking in this brotherly kindness, and you're walking in this great charity, you want to see that. So here it is, you discern it and you see it, and you want that for them. But if you haven't submitted yourself and humbled yourself and been transparent with the Father first, it's going to be extremely difficult for you to get that for your Shia.
Right.
And then now she wants to come and submit everything to you, but you're not in a position to receive it. So then you could be hindering the progress of your family, the hindering the progress of Israel by being lazy spiritually. A lot of us, let's keep it real, and I'm dealing with you brothers today because I know I told all y'all to be listening, so I hope y'all listening today. A lot of you brothers, y'all have fallen to the same wicked trap that the world set up for you. You want to hide behind your work. Oh, I'm such a great worker. Well, you know what? Guess what? Everybody in Israel is a great worker. Israelites have the characteristic traits of being hard workers. So you don't get no pats on the back for being a hard worker. Hallelujah. But you hide behind the work, and then when it's time for you to step up and lead your families, you have zero answers because you don't know how to submit yourself to Yah and get answers from him. You don't know how to trust him because you can't trust yourself. Is this making sense? You know, so this is a process that you have to go through. And you have to be 100% committed and 100% in full faith to believe that Yah is going to do what he's promised he's going to do. And beloved, you know, when we went through our process together, because my heart was so constituted towards you being free from a spiritual point, from a, you know, a righteous point, I had no hidden agendas. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to shame you. I didn't want to embarrass you. I wasn't, you know, seeking the information so I knew to have one up on you. No, I already one up on you. I'm your head. I'm your master, you know, by the way Yah designed it. But because my heart was pure, I could pray to Yah, bring up the things that she suppressed. Mm-hmm. I could pray that. And guess what? And you know, I get a testimony all the time. He will wake me up in the middle of the night. Because this, a lot of y'all don't know, this is how me and Mother Jennifer started our marriage. The first 60 days was this. The first 60 days, this is what we did. And he would wake me up in the middle of the night and give me names, and I'd wake her up, who was such and such, and she just, names that she never thought she'd have to hear again. But because I had such a drive in me to be pure and holy before Yah, and remember, we had leaped out of her. I didn't have straightway. I didn't have Pastor Dow to guide me in this. So when Yah moved on my heart, I just leaped out, you know. And we were doing, you know, keeping the commandments and keeping Shabbat and keeping the feast days. We were in the faith, but we needed a man to guide us in this thing. So we were looking. That was what we were searching for. But in the process of doing it, our intent was so pure. Yah could deposit anything in us because he knew we would go to him for the answers and for the results. And there was purging taking place. There was deliverance taking place. We didn't know what the heck we was doing. We just knew we were submitting everything we had to Yah because I said, look, we're on the road, and I'm totally trusting Yah. I don't know where he's going to send us, when he's going to do it. I have no room for sin. Any hint of sin, I got to get rid of it. But that was coming from a pure place. I had and you can vouch for this if you want or not, I had a pure hatred for sin. Mm-hmm. I hated, and I still hate sin, mm-hmm. you know? And so what happens is, because we talked a little bit about the bedroom and all this stuff, you can't be free in the bedroom because all these things you did from an iniquitous standpoint, from a crooked and a bent mindset, were all these different people. Now that when it's time for you to come to the marriage bed, which isn't defiled, you know, things that are permitted in your mind because you've been in it in perversion for so long and in iniquity and in a crooked and a bent way, you think they're wrong. So you want to, you know, what you do is allow the devil to take you back. And when you should be thinking about the one that you 100% committed to and coming one with, you thinking about Billy from 87 because you did that with him. But there's a difference of when you did it with Billy and when you're doing it with your husband now. With Billy, there was nothing connected there. It was straight sin. It was straight flesh. It might have been some emotions and tied, but it was more tied to your fleshly lust. This is tied to your eternal salvation because we are one body. And if one part of the body hurts, the entire body hurts. We got to have this mindset going into it. And that keeps us in a humble state to where we stay before the face of Yah. We stay laid out. We stay prayed up. We stay crying out to the Father. We stay humble. Humble thyself in the sight of Yah. Then he'll give us the opportunity to be lifted up in him, not us try to elevate ourselves through false speech and smooth words. You know, what's the Christian doctrine? Fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. Well, you're never going to make it if you're faking.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're never going to make it if you're faking. And, you know, I wanted to say to the sisters, never allow the level of self-hate that you have for yourself, the level of condemnation that you feel, the level of guilt, the level of shame, whatever you feel, never project that onto your husband. You know, never accuse him of feeling the same way about you. This is what causes women to not open up and share things to share things with your husband, because you already have it projected out in your mind how he's going to react. You know, you might say, well, he's going to be upset. Well, he might be upset. He'll be upset at the sin, but he won't be upset with you. He's going to be upset because he hates sin, and you are on the road to recovery and righteousness, but he's not going to take it out on you. So never project those things onto him. Never assume that that's what he's going to feel or think.
And let me say this to all the men. If you are the type of man to where your wife come to you in the spirit of all holiness, and she's trying to bear her soul to you so she can get free, and you are so weak-minded, you are so self-centered, to get mad at those things, just label yourself as the hypocrite that you are. Because I guarantee you, when you have to lay your stuff out before the Father, what if he treated you and felt about you the same way you're trying to treat and feel about your child? Focus on the biblical things. Focus on the righteous stuff, the holy stuff, the clean stuff, the real stuff that she desires to be free. You built to be a head. You built to be her master. You can take on this burden in the strength of the Most High. Yah, why would it drive you crazy for something she did before she even knew you? But she wants to be free, so it doesn't shackle her from being with you moving forward. And you should be already there. You should have already been there. You should have already been there. We got to grow up. We got to become more mature in our approach. And this is why the spiritual warfare series is so important, because you got to know the wiles of the devil. You got to know the tricks and the tactics that the Hasatan is going to use on you and playing tricks on your mind. Submission and in your obedience and in standing in the order of Yah, you don't have to worry about those things reigning and ruling over you. They don't have to possess you. They don't have to keep you in bondage. You can be free if you can trust Yah, if you can just humble yourself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We will take questions in the chat room. And so I'll play this song. It's about maybe 4 minutes long, and that'll give you time to type your questions in the chat room. If you don't have questions, then I think we're pretty much finished. Hallelujah. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are.
Hallelujah. All right. We are back, and we've got a couple of questions in the chat room. Before we get to those, I wanted to ask you, Elder Rufus, you know, there are times when, let's just say through our marriage and through my walk with Yah, you have taught me how to lean on him. You know, you have not babied me in any way. You have taught me how to be a mature woman, how to lean on the Father, how to cultivate my own relationship with Yah. You know, how do you learn the balance, or how do you know or discern or understand when to have your wife go to Yah for herself versus coming to you for help?
It's a good question, and it's just the love of Yah. It's the love of the brethren. Seeking Yah's face gives you that balance, and, you know, I preach all the time and I teach all the time that these men, all of us men, we should see our women as our sisters first and foremost. And we should treat them as such, because that's their eternal state to us. They're not going to be your wife in the kingdom. We're all going to be married to the Most High. Hallelujah. So if you go into it, and men act like we can't have multiple hats. We wear multiple hats all the time. You're a brother, you're a dad, you're a husband, you're a friend. You see what I'm saying? You're a neighbor. You got all kind of hats you're wearing. So it's not like you can't look at your wife and this point and say, no, she needs more of a brother right now. And again, all that comes from Yah. You know, we shouldn't be doing anything unless we're doing it in the name of Christ. So if I'm going to give instruction, it should be in the name of Christ. If I'm going to give guidance, it should be in the name of Christ. If I'm going to give counsel, it should be in the name of Christ. So he has the right to come in and dictate how much counsel I give, how much instruction I give, how much guidance I give, you know, how much support that I give. So these are things you have. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. These are things I ask for because I know they are needed, my sister, my wife, my friend, but for all of Israel as a whole, you know. And people say, well, you're an elder, Bible. Well, you can, when I wasn't an elder, I wasn't even Brother Rufus. I was just beloved, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't I like this?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it was the love of Yah, and it was the love of the brethren that I read in that book that I had to have, and I understood that she felt, and brethren is you know, in a plural sense, you know, with brothers and sisters. But I knew she fell in that category, and if I couldn't love her on that level, how could I love her as a wife? And if I looked at her even from a natural perspective and say, well, what would I want for my natural sister? Make sure she gets it. You don't baby your natural sister. Now, you want to protect her. You want to provide for, you want to produce things if necessary for, but you don't want to coddle her. You don't want to enable her in her bad behavior. And you know that she's going to learn from the things that she suffered from. That's what the book says. So I seek Yah. Everything that I do, it comes from Yah. we can talk about this real quick. You sat here today and prepared. How long? How much time did you spend preparing for tonight's message?
Not long.
But you were preparing, right?
Oh yeah, I was preparing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And what was I doing?
Chilling.
I was sitting over here trying to get 20 minutes of rest because I've been going all night. I ain't been to sleep yet. I ain't nothing. And then we have honored family member here. This family members here visiting us. Three different sects of family members, you know what I mean? They're here, and this is just a time when people are coming. So my focus and my energy has to go towards a lot of other things, and there's a lot of logistics and scheduling and planning that's going on between the multiple communities that I'm dealing with, you know what I mean? Personal things I got going on with children and babies and mother-in-laws and all kind of stuff, you know what I mean? But my heart was bent towards y'all. My thoughts, even though it looked like I was sitting in that chair chilling, who you think I was chilling with? And see, when I open my mouth, I'm confident that the things he wants me to say for him comes out, because I have no desire to say anything of my own volition. Anything that I would think come for me, I gave that up years ago. So when I speak, I know I'm saying the things that I believe y'all wants me to say to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So praying these things, what does she need? She may not need husband today. She may not need elder at this moment. She may need a brother. She may need a big uncle.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So I'm seeking his face, and I'm seeking his wisdom and understanding on how to provide for his people. And in turn, because you live this selfless type life, your mind is bent towards serving everyone. I'm a servant. Remember, I used to tell you, we weren't Christians. I told her that in the beginning. We ain't Christians. I don't see that in the book. What are we? We're servants. And did we not go around serving for years?
Yes,
that's
we did.
That's what we did. We went around serving. Nothing's changed. We're still servants. Why? What was the Messiah? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul said, right? Well, if we follow him as we follow Christ, Christ was a servant, the greatest servant of all. Follow his example. So that's how I know when to be brother and when to be husband and when to be elder. And when, because it's the Holy Spirit's job to lead and guide us to all truth. What is truth in this situation, in this moment right now? It's the Holy Spirit's job, and I do nothing to hinder him from leading and guiding.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, we got a couple questions in the chat room. Thank you for answering that. Very, very thorough. First question. This is a single sister. She said,
oh.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Before we go to the questions, there was a statement made here in the chat room, and I kind of want to address it a little bit. And it's a good thing, but at the same time, I want our minds to be focused on what this show is all about.
Right.
This is a sister-to-sister broadcast. What we're trying to do on this broadcast is help sisters stay focused on what their role is. They've been so demonized and demoralized and, you know, in their roles in this world, and it's been so flipped upside down that it's hard for them to get in line with what Yah created them to be. So the couple things is great, and I agree. You can get both viewpoints, but the main goal of this show and this broadcast that is done weekly for you sisters is for you to get your hearts and minds in line with the order Yah has for you as a wife, as a mother, as a sister, as an auntie, whatever your role is. He wants you to get in that role, and that has absolutely nothing to do with what men are doing. So I don't want us to miss that. You know, I saw the statement by the sister, and I thought it was a good statement, but I want people to understand the goal of this show is to help the sisters and get them in line with Yah. We have to get back into his biblical order, 100%. Hallelujah. We can get to the questions now.
Hallelujah. All right. It says, how does a woman heal if she is single and has been with someone in the past who grievously shamed her for the past, and they seem to be okay with it at first?
Right. It's your past.
Mm-hmm.
Believe the things that the book says about your future, about your present. That's not who you are. So what? We have plenty of people that purposely try to hurt us, hinder us, hold us back. But those that choose to believe what the book say, they go off those. See, I'm looking at that question, and I'm thinking this is an individual. I'm not saying it's you in particular, but people that fall in this category they believe the things that were said about them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I get past that deliverance? But the main thing is you have to make a commitment to resist the devil. You have, and how do I resist the devil? With the word of Yah. When these devils come and tell you, hey, Billy said that you were ugly. What does Yah say? Oh, Daniel said that you were fat. What does Yah say? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have something going on in your life that may be true, change it if you don't like it. You know how I am about that, mother. Don't come to me complaining about something in your life that you have 100% control over changing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to change it. Shut your mouth. But this is the thing. We all have the power to change all of this through Christ,
right,
who strengthens us.
Right.
We can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. Don't try to use your mind. It says lean not to thine own understanding. You have to lean to the understanding and the thoughts and the mindset, presence of Yah. And this is how you overcome the devil with these bombardment of thoughts. Because I know how the devil will pile on with the thoughts. But he can do that because you won't fight. You know, we're in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a specific way, strategic way you have to fight this war. So if we're in war and in war calls for knife fighting, having a gun at this time won't help you. You know why? Because you're not going to have no ammunition for your gun.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand the rules of engagement. You have to understand the wiles and the tricks of the devil and how he's coming at you so you will know how to retaliate and fight back. And that's what the Bible says, purge thyself. Resist the devil, he'll flee. He will. I'm 100% proof of that. And I promise you, you can get to a point where a lot of these thoughts and statements, they just don't come to you no more because the devil's not going to waste his time when he know it has no effect on you. Every blue moon, we're slipping in, and it's kind of funny. Then it's like, really, bro? You want to try that today? That's what you want to try? Like, I'm going to fall for that. Okay. And then you break out in a full-fledged praise session, and you don't even know what the thought was, what the statement was he tried to get to you.
Right.
You have to be committed to believe the things in this book. Study to show yourself approved. And you have to believe the promises of this book. Slow down reading this Bible, y'all. This is not your little love letter novels that you used to read back in the day. This is not no magazine, okay? This is not no children's story. This is our history. But this is also the instruction that we need so that we can make it to his kingdom. So slow down. Process the information. Make sure you 100% understand. I don't care if you stay on a scripture for weeks. I've done that. I've stayed on one scripture for months. Now I go on to other things, but it keeps coming back, and I keep meditating on it. I keep going over and over in my mind, and I keep asking the Father every time, what does that mean today? Because whatever you told me yesterday may not be good for today. What does it mean now? What does it mean for today? What is it you want me to do? This is how you cultivate a real, true, earnest relationship with the Father, and you're being transparent with him at all times. You're depending on him. You're leaning on him at all times. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And, you know, when you are a woman and you learn how to build yourself up in Yah, you know, this is why it's important to go through these steps, get set free. Then you can understand what your value is. When you know your value, then you know that you have something to add to the kingdom. You can add your servant kingdom, but if you're continually downcast in spirit, you know, you're continually condemning yourself, it's going to be very difficult for you to add to the kingdom when you're always focused on you, focused on yourself. So build yourself up in Yah. Know what your value is, and that way you can add to the kingdom. And whoever said something or thought something about you in your past, it won't even matter. One thing that, you know, that I would do is when the devil tries to bring something up from my past, I immediately tell Yah, Father, thank you so much for delivering me from that. I had actually forgotten about that, but I thank you so much for delivering me from that. Thank you for where you have me now. Thank you that I'm in a deliverance ministry. And, you know, I go through everything, and the devil does not come back with those thoughts because I literally turn it into just a gratitude session to the Most High that I'm no longer there.
Man, praise is comely for the upright. So it keeps you humble. It keeps you at a base state. It keeps you in a position where Yah can trust you. You're not trying to rise up in spirit. You're not trying to take on the glory of him or things that is due to him. So now he can help you. You understand what I'm saying? This is not hard, y'all. We make this thing really, really hard because we want to believe the things that were said. It's because the book is so clear. Yah is so clear about who you are once he's brought you into his marvelous light. He come to sup with you. He came for you. You didn't come looking for him. You thought you did. He sought you out. But see, many are chosen. Many are called. But only a few of you are going to be chosen. And the ones that's going to be chosen is the ones that 100% trust in Yah.
Mm-hmm.
100% trust in Yah. Them are the ones. And anything that's offended, it ain't getting into the kingdom. So if you're offended by some of these thoughts, you got to get rid of these things, and you have to trust the process that it will work. But if you go into a deliverance session or you go into a counsel session believing, man, they say this, but I know how I feel. See, now you're going by your feelings and your emotions. I don't understand if Yah say he will throw into the sea of forgetfulness, he will put it as far as the east from the west. Why can't you? Why can't you? Who's here in the faith now condemning you for your previous transactions? And you got so many transgressions. But you got so many examples in the book, so many examples of people walking around you daily that you can go up to them and pinch them and touch them and hug them and kiss them, that they real, that they overcomers of this. We're going to overcome by our testimonies. But I don't get why we can't believe the promises of this book, but we constantly want to believe the things of the past because it touch a nerve, it touch a feeling. I got a friend that's got a channel. It's called FYF. Y'all can imagine what that first F stands for. This F, your feelings, is what it means. And you need to have that approach with the devil because he wants to try to keep you connected through your feelings and your emotions. And it has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. The pastor said this other day, they come and go as the wind.
Right.
You could blink, and now you got 10 new feelings, 10 new emotions.
Right.
Control, you cannot be dictated by your feelings and your emotions. Just because you feel something don't mean that that's real. But that's what the devil wants to trick you into believing. Your past is just that, your past. Ask y'all to blot it out. Think about this. You think the devil wants to be involved in a full-fledged praise session to the Most High? You see how you broke out into praise? I bet the devil left too.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what when the Bible says, resist the devil, that's what it's talking about. Start praising. Start worshiping the Father. Man, people are going to think I'm crazy. So they think you crazy now. You full of all kind of spirit. Every single book that you laid down with it that blew up inside of you, you got that book of spirit on you. You do. And you wonder why we walk around here feeling all schizophrenic. Because you are. But here's the key. You can get free. Easily. Easily. You just got to trust. You just have to believe. You have to be willing to go through the process. Is it an ugly process? Oh, yeah. Mother, let's keep it real. Boy, we were going through that 60 days, y'all. We ain't want to go sleep. We ain't want to wake up. Half time. You know, it's like, woo, what are we finna wake up to? What is he going to reveal today? But boy, when we got done, we were so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And it propelled us to go forward and do the work that he was requiring of us. Because if we don't have that 60 days of purging, we don't get to go down to the Floridas and the Minnesotas and the Michigans and the Indianas and the Kentuckys and the Mississippis and Georgias and the South Carolinas. I mean, I can't name all the places we went, beloved. We don't get to do all that in freedom of mind. Freedom of body. And we were free. Were we free, Mother?
Definitely.
Oh, we were free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, we have another question. It says, does sexual harassment or attacks in dreams have to do with a lack of confession? Or is there an area that hasn't been repented of? So we got to remember that confessions lead to repentance. That's first and foremost. And there could be a lot of different variables that could come into play. When you talk about sexual attacks or harassment in dreams, it depends on if there are things that you have not confessed, if there's things that you're holding on to, if there's something in your bloodline that needs to be dealt with. There could be a lot of variables. So that particular sister, if you send an email to straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, and I can get more information, and then I can help you from there. Elder?
Yeah, all dreams ain't true, y'all. You do know that, right? It's just like these retarded thoughts that the Hasatan put in your mind. You're like, where the hell that come? It's a lot of these dreams are just to see how you gonna respond, how you gonna react to it. I tell people all the time, you have a dream, you say, oh, I want an interpretation, I want it to line up with the book. See how that dream lines up with things you see in the book. Hallelujah. See how it lines up, and if it don't, throw that stuff out. So the devil is trying to see what's going to hold you, what he can get. He don't know. It's like throwing darts for him. He's just throwing it to see what's going to stick. But when you got a committed heart and a committed mind to trust the things of the Most High, nothing sticks. Because you'll bust out in praise, you'll bust out in worship, you'll fall on your face, and the devil going to run. He's going to flee from that because he don't want to be a part of that. He thinks he's worthy of that, mm-hmm. But he's not. But he's not. Now, he's a formidable foe, but he's nothing compared to Yah. Let's keep it that. He can handle us. But Yah, no. So where's Yah? That means he can't do nothing to us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, can't.
All right, I have a statement. This is not a question, but great job as a solo host on the show, Mother, and thank you, both Mother and Elder, for your wisdom. It's very edifying. Hallelujah. I'm happy to know that you all are enjoying this particular broadcast. I asked Elder if he would come on the show with me today because I felt that it was very important. You know, when I went back to listen to the Sabbath message, I just knew that it would just be very important for his input. You know, he was the one that led me through this process. So thank you, Elder Rufus, for taking out the time to be with us today. So thank you. I'm going to read another question. It says, Elder Rufus, earlier you stated that a man is not supposed to fully depend on a woman in all things. What would a couple do to reverse that? If the wife is submitted to him, but he keeps putting her in that position, what does she do, and what can she do to help her husband? Thank you.
Not accept those things. See, you're learning who you are and what you are and what your role is. You're learning. This is why it's so important to get around the communities and around the assemblies and be 100% dedicated, because you get to see this played out. We had a sister that was just here recently. Right. And she came to visit. She stayed a full week with us. And I had to drive her a couple hours back to meet up with the heads of their community to get her back home. But her number one testimony was, like, she knew about polygyny. Right. She heard about it, been about it, you know, but she had never been around a polygynous family. Like, she sees them at the feast. But y'all know at the feast that's not, you know, I can't say it's fake. I'm just saying it's not what's going on day to day. And she stayed right here in our home, and she got to see how a polygynous family functioned. And it blew her mind, because all the things that the devil was telling her and other sisters that didn't believe was telling her, she got to see, no, that ain't how it works. And she was here in our home for a full week, full 7-8 days. And that's all she kept talking about, like, wow, my thoughts, my mind totally changed, because now I'm seeing something. I read it, but y'all know how it is. You read something, but if you've never seen it before, it's kind of hard to, like, grasp it and put your mind around it. It helped her understand what the scriptures were saying and what the scriptures were showing her. And she kept raving about it, like, man, I'm so blessed to be a part of this and then to see this level of love and this level of servitude and this level of order and this level of sacrifice, because my whole family functioned like I function. Wherever the greater need is, that's where we go. We sacrifice. It don't matter what we got going on. It don't matter what we feel or how we feel. We will drop whatever to go wherever at any time. And anybody in my family has to function that way. They don't have a choice. Now, here's the thing. I can't make that demand to y'all when I don't do it myself. Y'all see me fully submit to Pastor Dow, Elder Becker, the leadership, the saints. Y'all see me drop everything for the saints. Leaving my family to be last for the saints. You see it. The blessings of the Most High are rich. They don't come with no sorrows for us, because we blessed. The more we focus on the saints, the more saints think about us. I tell y'all this all the time, and I mean this. I don't have to think about myself. I don't have to think about myself. If I stay focused on y'all, y'all will put me on some of y'all hearts. And he will put to you to bless me in whatever area I need to be blessed in or encourage me or whatever the case may be. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a. I want y'all to really get this. This thing is not really hard. It is really about selflessness and submission. You commit to that. You believe in that. And Yah, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to everything you need to do. I hope I answered that question. Can I answer
yes,
that question?
Yes, I believe you did. Yes, sir. And I just want to encourage the single sisters. Like we said earlier, you have trusted women that you can reach out to. You have mothers. You have the wives who are the heads of assemblies who have wives. And you have elders who have wives. And you have deacons who have wives. So I just wanted to let you all know to stay encouraged because you do have trusted women who are mature that can walk you through these processes.
I want to hit that a little bit more because I wasn't at peace in my spirit about it. The way you reverse it is both parties have to be committed to their role. They have to be committed to study it, meditate on it, watch people that are in those roles, emulate what they do. Now, you can't just copy it. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
When you emulate it, you got it in your heart, and now you can walk it out, you know? And all by getting, you got to get an understanding. So you can watch, you know, elders say, look, get this in order. And then you come behind me, look, get this. You don't have the same power because you don't have the understanding of what I'm saying. You will be yelling and raising your voice when it's time to be quiet and turn away wrath. Use a soft word. You see what I'm saying? You won't have the balance that you need. But if you get it in your heart and you allow Yah to tell you, when to raise up and when to calm down, that's when you'll be fine. So the woman, you study what the woman's role is. You get around people that have been delivered in this area. We have plenty of sisters that were full-fledged Jezebels. You see what I'm saying? We have women that were in full-fledged roles as men, going out, come home and with the briefcase, throw it down, the husband got dinner on the table for them and washing all the clothes. I mean, full-fledged. But you see them now because they were committed to do it Yah's way. Now they both function in their true role. He's the lead. She's the wife, and she's following his lead. You see what I'm saying? You can do it. You have to be committed to accept your role, and that's another key part. I got to touch on that real quick. Some of you can't figure this out because you really don't want to accept the role that Yah has for you. You got to be honest with Yah about that. You have to be 100% transparent with Yah. When there's something going on that you just don't like, and you know you're wrong, you still got to tell that to Yah. At least let Yah respect you and honor you for being honest. Now, he may have to whoop your butt. He may have to tear your tail up, but at least he can respect you and being honest for coming to him. All these scenarios I've had in my life, my Jacob moments, wrestling and all this stuff, one thing I know is about Yah, he's honored me when I've been honest with him.
Right.
He has. He's honored me. And I said some stupid stuff to the Most High. I really have. He knew my heart was hurting, and he knew the goal was not to doubt him or to shame his commandments or nothing like that. I wanted his truth, and something was blocking me from getting his truth. So I kept pressing, and I kept pressing. So I was almost delirious and crazy. But then when you're like, oh, now you're there, and then he can trust you with it. You got to be committed to swap and reverse these roles. You got to be committed in your prayers and your thoughts and your mind and your meditation to say to the Father, I'm going to be who you call me to be. And this is what you call me. And just read it. You can go to all the scriptures out here that tells you exactly, and all the texts that tell you exactly what a woman's role is. You read it. You go to all the things that the Messiah did and the disciples did, and it shows you exactly what a man's role is, and you do it. And you call on him for the strength to do it. It can easily be done if you humble yourself and submit yourself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's a very good example, Elder. You know, if your husband is the one that is the cook, then you learn how to cook, you know. Get on YouTube, learn how to cook some things. If he's the one that has, right, let him teach you exactly. If he's the one that's done the laundry, you learn how to do the laundry. So you have to show a willingness, you know, beat him to it before he even gets to it. So put yourself in a position to actually do those things.
The text talks about how a woman is supposed to win over her unbelieving husband.
Yeah.
What makes him unbelieving? His ways, his actions show that he don't trust and believe the things of Yah, so he goes wayward from that. But you, by your chaste conversation, not your words, that word conversation is a bad translation, really. It should take your lifestyle, your commitment to be holy, your commitment to be pure, your commitment to be submissive, and totally surrender yourself, even to this man. Or it'll put the fear of Yah on him, and he'll either straighten up, get his act together, or he'll bust up out of there and leave you so for a real man can handle it. You have to believe that the book tells you, and actually what the book tells you, you're going to win him. It says you're going to win him to Christ. You're going to win him over to doing the things and accepting his role in Christ. And I've had some situations recently with sisters where I've had to tell them, look, I'm going to put it on you because you have a charge. You have a charge in that book. So when I look at your children, I should see a certain thing. When I look at your husband, I should see a certain thing. Instead of him looking like he want to go up on the rooftop and sit. Instead of him looking like he's around a drippy faucet. You understand what I'm saying, Mother?
Yeah.
Y'all understand what I'm saying out there? You have a very powerful position, women. Not a position of authority, but it's a very powerful position. You can build it up, or you can tear it down. And I like what Pastor Dow does. He'll get in your face and tell you, so you want to be the one to bring down the man of Yah? You want to be the one to bring down the ministry? You want to be the one to bring shame on us? That's what you want to do? Because you're wicked in thought, you're wicked in mind, you got your flesh raised up? I'm saying that to more saints. When they start acting like they don't have faith, they're unbelieving, I'm going to start reminding them. So you're going to be the one. You're going to be the Judas. You're going to be the one that forsook the way, right? This evil and present world got you, right? Huh? That's you. Die, Patrice, that's you. I'm going to start calling people out. Because he didn't call you here to be those roles. He put those in the book so you could see an example of what not to be. But he didn't call you here to be that. All you individualites. See, we got Israelites. We got those that call themselves Israelites, but they're not. Because then all that say to Israel is Israel. But then we have some folks that are just flat out individualites. You want to be connected to the ministry. You want the benefits of saying you a straight way, but you want to do everything the way you see fit. Your day coming. Your day coming. I'm getting off. Let me stop. I'm getting off.
No, I think that's good. You know, we kind of switched a little bit, but yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, people, like you said, you know, you think that people don't see what really is going on, but it's easy to actually discern.
Mm-hmm.
So behind closed doors, you have to be that submissive one,
mm-hmm.
Because it's definitely going to show through when you get around the saints who are discerning. Yes, it's going to show.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like that is all the questions that we have, Elder. Did you want to add anything before we end?
You know, again, I'm grateful. I don't know how to put it in words to thank the Father. And, man, help me, y'all. I just don't take opportunities for granted. I just don't. I'm extremely grateful. I know how privileged we are as a people that he sets all of this up so that we can get ourselves together right now so we'd be ready for his kingdom. Let me tell you people something. Let me tell you saints something. If you got issues with saints right now, guess what? You're not making it to the kingdom. You ain't going to make it unless you get that right. Nothing that offends is getting in. If you got issues with polygyny, you ain't going to make it. Yah is a polygynist. We are polygynist people. You ain't going to make it. If you got issues with living on community, you ain't going to make it. He said, I go. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not tell you this. But I go to prepare a place, not a mansion, not your own 50,000 square foot. No, you get a place in the mansion. Why do you think he has us living this way? Go back and read Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. You got problems with this stuff, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You got problems with giving all. You think you're smart. You look at Pastor Dial and the leadership and say, man, they simple. They country. They don't know what to do. I ain't worked my tail off to give this. You ain't giving it to us. You giving it to the work. You following the instruction. But now you smarter than y'all, huh? You smarter than y'all. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Now, Elder Rufus, Brother Rufus, whatever you call me, loves you enough to tell you the truth. Now, if I become your enemy, it is what it is. But I love you enough to tell you, we can't keep playing these games, y'all. We can't keep thinking we got all this time to get our stuff together. We don't. Women, for submission, beg for obedience. Resist Jezebel. Resist Queen of the Coast. Resist Python. Resist all these spirits that hinder you from getting in line, being the mother and the wife and the daughter you're supposed to be. Men, raise up. Buck up. Grab your nutsack, damn it. Be men. I'm tired of weak, simp-ass men not wanting to accept their role in Yah. When he's giving you all the power to do what you need to do, all you got to do is submit and open your mouth. Communicate. Communicate, communicate, communicate. You don't have to be long-winded. Say what you say and mean what you say. And let the spirit of Yah back you in saying that. Stand on his truth. See, when I'm speaking Yah's word, I don't have to justify or clarify what I mean. No, it's what he said. It ain't what I came up with. I didn't create it. It's what he said. So you come against it, we're going to see. That just was bubbling in my heart, y'all. And I know this kind of went a little different direction to end this show, this broadcast. But I just love you too much to not put this woe out there for us. We can't keep playing around with y'all. And I love the Pastor Dow said to us years ago, now they're coming true. These serious-minded saints are showing up, and they're putting a lot of you old heads to shame because you don't love Yah. I love you enough to tell you your actions, your deeds don't prove that you love Yah. When the Hasatan go before the Most High on the daily basis like he does, and he has these accusations against you, guess what? They're true for some of you. They're true. And the whole goal for us should be to make sure that when he's accusing us, that they're not true, so that when the Messiah, when the Most High sees us, all he sees is the blood of the Messiah that has cleansed us, that has purged us, that has washed us white as snow. You got to receive that, though, meaning you got to believe it. You got to own it. It's you. It's your essence. It's your being. It's who you are. And it don't matter what nobody thinks. I tell and train and teach and preach my wives, you going to have a relationship with the Most High. You ain't getting in on my skirt tails. Now, I understand the biblical process. Don't get me wrong. But they will have a relationship with him. Because if I'm gone, they'll mourn their 30 days. And guess what? They're going to get back to serving the Most High. Discharged to be a servant. Regardless if I'm here or not. See you on the other side, sis. Do I not tell y'all that? And I mean it 100%. They don't have a choice. You will love Yah. You will kiss face. And you'll have a relationship and a love much deeper than you have for me. You can physically see me with your eyes. Right? Staying I'm in is temporal. Anything you can see with your eyes is temporary, y'all. Don't get caught up in the flesh. And I love y'all. I really do. I'm looking forward to these feast days coming up. I'm looking forward to seeing some of y'all when I get to these communities and help and work. And I want you to love Yah with every fiber of your being. Man, you watch Pastor Dow, he goes so hard for Yah. I still know, and I'm close to Pastor, as close, about as close as a person can get next to his wife. But I still don't understand how he does it. Even through the strength of Yah, I don't understand. But I marvel at it. I admire it. And I'm motivated and I'm encouraged by it. Bless y'all.
Hallelujah. Very sobering word. Thank you so much, Elder, for loving us enough. I want to just give an acknowledgement to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for
love you, Shep.
Just really giving us the word that we need, and for laying your life down for Yah and laying your life down for Yah's people. Blessings to your entire home.
Sverige och jag älskar min straightway stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel. Ani ivriya mi Israel. Ohevet et shevet straightway ve achyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de straightway. Y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Sa koka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
Watashi wa Nihon kara no Hebraijin desu.
私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.